Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 53. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. This too is the word of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, on this Good Friday, after 40 days of being guided to the cross this Lent, we now stand at the foot of the cross. We have been guided to this point, to this place, to the crucifixion of our Savior, who is the sacrifice for us. The concept of sacrifice, of course, can have many levels and many dimensions. But today, we see the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Jesus gave himself fully, freely, and completely. He did not hold back any part of himself. He did not say no to any aspect of his mission to remove the power of sin and death from us and to destroy the work of the devil. Because of the depth of Christ's sacrifice, when we recognize that it is for us as individuals and collectively, it can be hard to look at the cross. And I'm sure it was difficult for those who were there as well. The women stood at a distance. Many of those who had heard Jesus or known him probably turned away in horror as they saw him lifted up on the cross at the outskirts of town at the place of the skull. Because crucifixions were designed to be public displays of humiliation. They were designed to be deterrents to any who would consider claiming to be a god or a king or really any sort of threat to the Roman authority. This type of death was designed to not be private, but rather that each embarrassment, each pain, each agony would be clearly seen by all. There was no hiding what was happening. Christ's physical suffering and his death was very real. And as sunset approached, even the soldiers knew that he was already dead as they pierced his side instead of breaking his legs. But what the people at the cross that day may not have seen, what was not so readily and clearly visible, was the internal spiritual sacrifice that Christ was enduring. the heavy burden of every sin of every person, past, present, and future, placed on his sinless nature. He felt every inner pain and every struggle with sin that we experience, and he took that all with him into his final breath. The sacrifice of our Savior on the cross on this day is the culmination of thousands of years of promises from God, centuries of waiting by God's people for this moment to arrive. This sacrifice was foreshadowed every year as the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a goat, and there, at the altar of the Lord, sacrifice that animal, sprinkling the holy place, sprinkling the people with the blood of atonement. But because of the sacrifice on the cross, those sacrifices are no longer necessary. As we heard from Hebrews, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The sacrifice of the cross means everything to us. We are forever changed because of Christ crucified. The wrath of God over and against our sin and rebellion is no longer a threat against us. Jesus takes the eternal consequences of our sin by dying as the sinless person made the sinner in our place. We are no longer doomed to die for our rebellions. We are forgiven and free and able to live a new life for him. Christ's sacrifice on the cross enables us to be what Paul calls living sacrifices. He says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Today, we are viewing the mercies of God as we hear the suffering and death of our Savior. Today, we see the fullness of his sacrifice, and we are called to offer ourselves to others just as fully as Christ did for us. Our living sacrifice is holy and acceptable, not because of who we are or because of the sacrifice we make, but we are holy and acceptable because of Jesus. And this is our spiritual act of worship. You know, the Bible encourages us, gathering together as Christians is important for a number of reasons. As we gather together, our faith is strengthened as we hear the Word of God, because the Bible says that's how faith comes, through hearing the Word of God, the Word of Christ. As we gather, oftentimes, we actually receive our Savior in the meal that He established for us. As we gather together, we are meant to encourage one another, and we are meant to spur one another on to love and good deeds. As we gather together as Christians, we have a chance to join the praise of heaven as we sing our songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts. But as we leave the gathering, our spiritual worship continues in earnest. As we are all called to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, and even to our enemies. What does this living sacrifice look like? Well, with our eyes on the cross of Jesus, let's listen to the Holy Spirit's description of this living sacrifice that we are called to continually give. Romans 12 continues, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As living sacrifices, we are to be focused on God's will, His desire for this world, His choice of right and wrong, and not just our own desires. As living sacrifices, we are to learn to pray with Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. And to be living sacrifices means that we are to use the gifts that God has given to us for the good, especially the good of the body of Christ. Romans 12 continues, "For by the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Our living sacrifice continues as we are called to let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Our living sacrifice continues as we repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, which is exactly what Jesus did. It was not by his divine power that he overthrew the forces of evil. This is not some superhero story of good versus evil. Rather, the one, the only one who is truly good, offered himself up to death. And that is what overcame evil. We become a living sacrifice as we are baptized into Christ. While we see water being poured and we hear the name of our triune God spoken, God is at work, uniting us to the sacrifice of Christ. God is at work in the waters of baptism, burying us into Jesus' death and raising us to new life, so that we now can offer our bodies as the living sacrifices we are. So this Good Friday, again, be guided by the cross. Be guided to sacrifice. Be willing to be a living sacrifice for others, even as Christ himself was the sacrifice for us. Amen.
The first reading from Matthew 26. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against me, a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. "Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances."
The church rejects him. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" And high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death." False witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Wait for the Lord.
his country outlaws him. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. The wicked man, his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity.
The crowd rejects him. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. Among the rebels in prison who committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And then they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, "There is no salvation for him in God." I will not be afraid.
God forsakes him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You would have destroyed the temple and rebuilt in 3 days? Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priest with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about that ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" "All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. 'He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.'"
I invite the congregation to please stand. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now there was a centurion who saw what had taken place. He praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Amen.
You may be seated. He is buried. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who at the evening hour did rest in the tomb, and thereby sanctify the grave to be a bed of hope for your people, make us abound in sorrow for our sins, which were the cause of your passion, that when our bodies rest in the dust, our souls may live with you, who reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.